Dennis Mukwege grew up in his home nation of DR Congo as the son of a Pentecostal pastor. From a very early age, he used to follow his father into the church and into the villages to pray for sick people. And from those early experiences, a compassion was birthed in the heart of Dennis Mukwege. He wanted to help sick and poor people, just like his father had done. And so Dennis set out in life to become a doctor who would bring healing to his people. In 1999, Dennis Mukwege opened the Panzi Hospital in the heart of the Bukavu region of DR Congo. Now, that's the place in the country that saw violence in the civil war, that saw rebels come in and destroy villages and rape thousands of women. During the war, in fact, tens of thousands of women were raped as a weapon of warfare. Many were left brutally scarred, traumatized, and damaged. But with faith in God and compassion in his heart, Dr. Dennis Mukwege set out on a lifelong journey to bring healing and restoration to the women of the DRC. Since the Panzi Hospital opened in 1999, over 82,000 women have found healing and hope there. Most of them were victims of rape and victims from the war zone. And for his selfless service to others and for his compassionate care for victims of rape and of war, in 2018, Dr. Dennis Mukwege was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. The amazing thing about Dr. Dennis Mukwege is that he didn't set out to become famous. He didn't set out to exalt himself and receive glory. He didn't set out to use his education and his ability to make money for himself. He set out to help the forgotten, the abused, and the weak. And God has rewarded Dennis Mukwege with one of the world's greatest honors. What he's accomplished has gone beyond his own ability and tapped into the true supernatural power of God. There's a powerful lesson for all of us in the inspiring true story of Dr. Dennis Mukwege. You see, just like Dennis Mukwege, we've all been called and given an opportunity to become a person of influence. You can become a person of influence when you follow the path to accomplish yes goals. You may never win the Nobel Peace Prize, but you can have an eternal impact in this life and in the life to come when you accomplish yes goals. And that's the purpose of our message this morning. We're going to discover the three steps we can all take to become significant people in the supernatural and accomplish yes goals. But before we learn how, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you. You are truly a God of wonder. You do wonders. And Lord, we praise you and we worship you today that in all of our need, in all of our life, in all of our desperation, we can call upon you and you hear us and you answer us. So, Lord, once again, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We submit ourselves to you. We bind every voice of the devil, every spirit that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command it to be gone and be silent. And, Lord, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to fall from heaven, the power to give us light and truth, the power to give us the grace to obey, the power to empower us to be people who accomplish yes goals. Do this, we pray, in the name of Jesus, so that at the end of the day, your name may be glorified, our lives may be transformed, and the world around us will be blessed. We thank you by faith now in Jesus' name. And everybody said yes. I want you to join your faith with mine right now, if you would. Just take a moment and pray after me. Put your hand on your chest and say, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. I'm so glad that you're here with us on this beautiful Sunday morning. If you're joining us online today, I want you to know that we love praying you that power and presence, Lord, touch where you're. If you're ever in Accra, don't hesitate to join us in person at Agape Land here in East Legon. I promise you, a warm welcome awaits you. Well, I'm so glad you're here with us today. Thank you for coming out, and I want you to take a moment and help me welcome the person to your right and your left. To the person to your right, just say, neighbor. Neighbor, I prayed all week I'd get to sit next to you. Now turn to the one you really like, the neighbor on the left, and say, neighbor, I prayed all month I'd get to sit next to you. Everybody say yes. Well, for the last few weeks, we're on a journey to discover what God is speaking to us in 2020 with the theme, yes. We're studying the scripture he gave us from 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20. And last week, we started looking at what it means to live the yes life. And our guide for this journey is none other than the Apostle Peter. Last week, Peter taught us from his experience walking on water how to activate yes faith. We discovered that if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. See, the fact is there's going to be storms in your life this year, but the storm didn't come to sink you. The storm came to strengthen you, because tested faith results in trusted faith. And when you commit your ways to Jesus, his authority and his grace gives you courage and ability. See, yes, faith is activated when we do what we can with what we have, where we are, and we trust God to do the rest. And yes, faith leads us to accomplish yes goals. If you have yes faith and you activate it, then you're going to start the journey to accomplish yes goals. And once again, Peter is the one who's teaching us today from his story in Acts chapter 4. Now, to help us learn the truth from Peter and the Word of God, we printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin. And I invite you to take them out now and follow along with me as we discover the three steps to accomplish yes goals. And our very own teens pastor, Pastor Gabriel Jima, is coming to read the story for us today. Give him a round of applause, teens and youth pastor. I thought you guys would be excited over here. Come on. But before he reads the story, let me give you a little bit of background. As you know, Peter and John spent 3 years on earth walking with Jesus, learning ministry from him. Then he was crucified, buried, but he rose again. And in the period after his resurrection, for 40 days, Jesus interacted with the disciples and continued to impart to them. Then when he was ascending and going to heaven, he gave them instructions to wait in Jerusalem so they could receive the power of the Holy Spirit. They did that, and Acts chapter 2 tells us Peter and John and the disciples were in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came down. And then in Acts 3, we see the result of that power. Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and they met a man who was crippled from birth for 40 years. He couldn't walk or stand. And by the power of the name of Jesus, Peter and John ministered healing to him. And the man went walking and leaping and praising God. Now, you think people would be happy, but surprisingly, in Acts 4, this miracle produced opposition. And that's where our story begins today. Hear the word of the Lord, Acts 4, 1 to 31.
Peter and John were confronted by the priest and the captain of the temple guard. They arrested them and put them in jail. The next day, they brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Now, church, let's do this together. Read the last two verses together. Let's go.
O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus.
After this prayer,
the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Consider with me for a moment what happens here. Peter and John have gone into the temple and they met a man born crippled. For 40 years, he couldn't walk or stand. They minister healing power to him. He gets up and goes walking and leaping and praising God. Hey, this is no small tino. Peter is living the yes life, and God is working mightily through him. And suddenly, opposition arises. You would think people would be saying, but instead the leaders angry. You think they would congratulate Peter and John, but instead they throw them into jail. And here's what you need to understand. When you're living the yes life, the no people will get upset. When you begin to activate yes faith and go out on a yes mission for Jesus, Satan and his agents of no will always get stirred up. And that's what happened to Peter. He was living the yes life, walking by yes faith, and accomplishing yes goals, and the devil and his crowd got angry. But Peter overcame the opposition and worked through to accomplish yes goals. And you can too when you follow the three steps that we learn in this story. And here's your first step towards accomplishing yes goals. Yes goals are bigger than you. Everybody say bigger. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word bigger. And understand that if you want to accomplish yes goals, you've got to aim for something bigger than your own glory and your own life. That's what Peter did. Listen to what he says in Acts 4, 10 and 12. Peter's preaching here. He was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. So Peter is pointing to something greater than himself. He continues, there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So Peter begins to glorify and magnify Jesus. He deflects all praise and glory off of himself and on to the Lord. He's not living for his own praise or his own reputation. And sadly, this is not a common response in society today. Everybody wants to draw attention to themselves and take the glory for anything that anybody does. Even in the church, some so-called men of God act as if the miracles they perform are because of their greatness or their glory, and they steal the glory from the only one who deserves to be praised, Jesus Christ. But Peter sets us on the foundation for accomplishing yes goals by giving us the most important truth. In order to accomplish yes goals, you have to aim for something bigger than yourself. Your life has to be about the glory of God, not the advancement of yourself. For the truth is, life is not all about you. Tell your neighbor, it's not all about you. I know that's a shock to some of you. Tell your other neighbor, it's not all about you. See, yes goals seek to magnify Jesus Christ. Yes goals lift up the Lord. Peter wasn't interested in pleasing men. He wasn't trying to get a position that would elevate him above others. He only sought to magnify Jesus. And this was the truth he'd learned from Jesus Christ directly. Listen to how Jesus taught Peter and teaches us in Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." In other words, Jesus is telling us if you're aiming for goals that only advance you, your success, your happiness, and your career, you're missing the path to true accomplishment. So here's the first truth you need to put on your keychain and carry around with you. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Reminds me of one of my favorite stories about the donkey who carried Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. I tell you, this donkey was a bit foolish. When they came out and Jesus was on him riding into Jerusalem, all the people came out shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They were waving palm branches and putting their garments on the ground. Well, this foolish donkey thought they were praising him. And so the next day when he got up, he thought, "I'm going back for a second dose." He went to the market and he started braying loudly, "Here I am, the great donkey of Jerusalem. Shout Hosanna, wave your palm branches, put your garments down." But nobody paid him any attention. In fact, one person was so rude, he slapped him on the behind. "Hey," the donkey got offended, "you pagans, I'm going to the temple. They will know who I am there." He went to the temple and started braying loudly, "Here I am, start shouting Hosanna." But everybody ignored him. He said, "Don't you know who I am? Yesterday you praised me." But nobody paid him any mind. So the donkey got upset and ran home to his mother and said, "Mother, they're not praising me today." And the mother said, "Oh, you foolish child. Don't you know that without Jesus, you're nothing but a dumb donkey?" Tell your neighbor, without Jesus. No, just end it right there. That's it. But friends, without Jesus, none of us are worth nothing. And it's critical we understand this at the beginning of the year because, see, millions of people around the world and most of us have made New Year's resolutions. You might have made New Year's goals for the decade. And most of those are focused on success, financial success, and relationship success, and career success. And there's nothing wrong with those goals. There's nothing wrong with success. I want you to be successful. God wants you to be successful. I pray you get a better job. I pray you get a promotion. I pray you're upper class honors. I pray that you win the award. I pray you get the right husband or wife. I pray that you have success in everything you do this year in Jesus' name. And somebody said, yes. But if all you're aiming for is success, you're aiming too low. See, here's the problem with the world's view of success. Everything we define as success is temporary. Success fades, but there's something that endures, and it's significance. No matter how great your success, it will fade away. Today's success is tomorrow's footnote in history. Your achievements will be outdone. Your successes will be forgotten and overtaken. And in the end, if all you're aiming for is the success of this world, it will temporarily last and then fade away in the light of eternity. In fact, this is what the Bible teaches us. Listen to King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 3, 9, he asks, what do people really get for all their hard work? And then he lists things that fade away. He says achievements are forgotten in Ecclesiastes 1. He says pleasure ends in the second chapter. He says accomplishments fade. Money goes to others and political power is lost. If we stop and think about it, we'll realize that everything King Solomon said in the Bible is true. Think about just recent accomplishments. If we can't even remember what happened a few years ago, how significant is it? Most of us don't even know the names of people who won the top awards. We just started a new decade, but we can't remember the ones who started the last decade with accomplishment. If you can name these people off the top of your head, I'll give you a free sermon CD, all right? Who won Miss Ghana in 2010? Who won the Golden Boot Award in 2010? Who was the richest man in Ghana in 2010? Who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2010? If you're like me, you don't have a clue. And these are big achievements. These aren't small things. But in 10 years, the names have faded. Because to live a life that counts, we need to redefine success. And to do that, you need to embrace this truth. Success does not come when your goals focus on self. Success comes when your goals focus on significance. When you aim for something bigger than your own life, your own glory, your own success, then you launch into the realm of significance. Your life achieves more when you go bigger. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of a man named Richard Miles from Texas, USA. On May 15th, 1994, Richard Miles was convicted of a crime he didn't commit. He was only 20 years old when he was convicted and found guilty of murder, and he was sentenced to 60 years in prison. But God had mercy on Richard Miles. Richard Miles is a Christian, a person of faith, and after 15 long years in prison, God worked and delivered him. He was released. New evidence was brought to light that proved he was not guilty of murder. In 2009, they let Richard Miles go free. Now, many of us would think that after 15 years in prison, going in as a 20-year-old, coming out at 35 years of age, you would do everything you could make for a lifetime. Most of us think that Richard Miles would have gone headlong pursuing pleasure, or he would have gone out to get as much money as he could. But Richard is a man of faith, and being in prison taught him that life is not about pursuing pleasure or acquiring money. It's about making a difference on earth. So Richard Miles set out to help other prisoners. He set out to help them when they got out of prison to make their life count. He set up a foundation called Miles for Freedom. He bought a big ranch, a big property where he built houses, and he brings ex-prisoners in, gives them job training, helps them to understand how to live and achieve and accomplish in life and get their feet back on the ground to become significant. And in that endeavor to help other prisoners, Richard Miles himself has found peace and purpose. It's helped him to forgive those who wrongly convicted him. It's given him a sense of significance. And last year, the news giant CNN named Richard Miles as one of their top heroes for 2019. You see, those who follow God not only have the promise of success, but we also have the promise of significance. Those who aim for something bigger than their own lives will leave a lasting legacy. That's why Proverbs 12:7 says, good people are remembered long after they are gone. Yes, goals, don't just strive for success. Yes, goals, aim for something bigger than self. Yes, goals, aim for significance. That's what Peter did. He aimed for significance. He could have used the miracle to begin the Peter Global International Holy Ghost Ministry. He could have taken an offering and built a monument to himself. He could have elevated himself and used it to get supporters and donors and elevate his ministry and put himself on TV. But Peter didn't seek his own glory. He sought only to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He exalted the eternal God, and God made Peter eternally significant. And that's true for Peter, it's true for Richard Miles, and it's true for all of us. You see, God has called each and every one of us to be significant. I declare to you today that God created you to be a significant person. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 5. He said, you are the light of the world. He was speaking to people just like you and I. He says, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And I'm here to tell you today, God calls you the light of the world. God calls you his chosen one, who he's destined to be significant. And God wants to display you so that his name will be glorified. For you are a trophy of God's grace. You are the one he wants to set up on a hilltop for the world to see, not for your benefit, not for your name to be exalted, not for people to praise you, but so that his name will be glorified. If you believe it, shout yes. Think about this for a minute. What you display is what you're proud of. If you have a son who graduated from Harvard, tell your neighbor Harvard, and on his graduation day, he was awarded top student of the class. You will get that picture. You will blow it to the biggest size. You put it in a frame. And everybody who comes to your compound, that's the first thing they will see. Your son receiving top student from Harvard. Nobis Martino. Hey. If you get an award, a trophy from a company or a team or somewhere, you put it in a glass case to display it. Even you young ladies, simple thing like a new hair, a new dress, you take a selfie, put it on Instagram. You display what you're proud of. Nobiso. So listen, God says, I want to display you, because God is proud of you. God is proud of the work he's done in you. He's proud of his son Jesus, who saved you and rescued you. And he says, I want you to shine out for me. I want you to be like a city on a hilltop, a light that can't be hidden. I want you to shine for my glory. See, here's the truth you need to understand. You're created to be significant, not for your glory, but God's glory. You're called to be the light of the world, that he might receive the honor. You're called to be supernatural nature, that you be supernatural significance. And that brings us to our second step to accomplish yes goals. Yes goals are beyond your ability. Everybody say beyond. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word beyond, and understand what God's telling us here. Yes goals are beyond your ability, but they're not beyond God's ability. And we see this transition in Peter's life. First, he points bigger than himself to Jesus. And then in Acts 4, 24 and 30, he joins the first church and they pray like this. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Turn your notes over to page 2 and consider what Peter is doing here. He's invoking and inviting the supernatural presence of God. He does not believe that he can go bigger on his own power or strength. He realizes that when he aims bigger, he has to go beyond his own ability. Peter didn't try to launch a ministry based on his eloquence or his prophetic move or his personality. He called on the sovereign Lord, the great and mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. He called on the big God to come and release his power. And that's what God is calling each and every one of us to do this year. He says when we aim for something bigger than ourselves, we must go beyond our own ability into the supernatural power of God. If you can accomplish your goals for 2020 in your own strength, wisdom, and power, then those goals are too low. If you need the supernatural intervention of the divine, sovereign God, creator of heaven and earth, then your goals are yes goals, and God will join you to help them be fulfilled. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Significance doesn't come by separating everyday life from the supernatural. Significance comes by soaking everyday life in the supernatural. You will achieve significance when every day, moment by moment, in every endeavor, you invoke and invite the supernatural presence of God. That's what happened to Peter and the first church. They went bigger than their own glory to glorify God. They went beyond their own ability by getting the Holy Ghost involved. And as a result, God gave them the infilling of the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. Most of us think the Holy Spirit was filled them only once, but that's not true. Listen to Acts 2:4. The Bible says everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then another time, another place, Acts 4:8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then another time, another place, Acts 4:31, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Over and over in the New Testament church, the people continually received an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's God's plan for you. Every day, in every way, he wants the supernatural to soak your life and overtake you. That's what the Bible tells us in Galatians 5. Listen carefully. So I tell you, live the way the Holy Spirit leads you. We get our new life from the Holy Spirit, so we should follow the Holy Spirit. In other words, live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, follow the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. And to accomplish yes goals, you must have the Holy Spirit inside. This is not just a command for pastors and prophets. It's not just a call to select few. This is a command and a call for every one of us. For every child of God is called to listen to the Spirit, act on that, obey God. It's the only way we can live beyond our own abilities. Even in our workplace and our daily routine, God is calling us to go bigger by going beyond. That's the lesson we can learn from the inspiring true story of a woman in Virginia, USA, named Brenda Walker. Brenda Walker's not a celebrity. She's not a rich person. She's just an everyday, ordinary worker. In April of last year, in fact, she'd worked really hard physically all day long, and she was exhausted. All she wanted to do was go home and relax. But on her way home from work, her husband called her and asked her to stop at the supermarket and pick up a few things he needed. So in spite of her weariness, Brenda decided to stop at the supermarket, get those few things. But because she was anxious to get home and relax, and she was stressed and tired from the day, she didn't take much notice of the things or the people around her. She got her few things, got to the cashier. She didn't see the people behind her or in front of her. She just wanted to pay and go home. But as she was there in the queue paying for her things, the Holy Spirit tugged on her heart. She felt speaker. And told her, I want to pay for the items of the man behind you in the queue. Well, this was unusual. She didn't know the man behind her in the queue. She hadn't even looked at him. He was a stranger, and she thought he might get offended, or she didn't know what would happen. Besides that, she had not come with her bank card or her cash card. All she had was one $20 note. But Brenda Walker was living for something bigger than herself, and she stepped out in faith and went beyond her ability. Okay, God, I'll do it. So she told the cashier, ring up these items for the man behind me in the queue. I want to pay for him. And to her surprise, the cashier rung them up and said, that will be $19.99. Brenda Walker handed her the $20 note, picked up her things, went out to walk to her car to go home and relax. When suddenly, as she got to the car, she felt a tap on her shoulder. She turned around and saw a very elderly gentleman. He had a gleam in his eye and a testimony on his lips. He asked her, are you the one who paid for my items in the supermarket? She said, yes. He said, why did you do that? She thought he might be offended. So she said, well, in all honesty, I don't mean to offend you, but I felt God told me to do that. God wanted me to pay for you. The man said, let me tell you about my life. He said, today is my 55th wedding anniversary. 55 years I was married, but my wife died this year. This is the first wedding anniversary in 55 years she's not with me. Every year on our anniversary, we would buy the same food and go home and cook the same meal. I'm so lonely, I can't live without her. Tonight, I decided to go and buy the same food, go home and cook the same meal, and then I was going to put a gun to my head and kill myself. But because you paid for my food, now I know God loves me. I will not end my life because now I know there's a God who cares for me. One simple woman stepped out beyond her own ability and listened and obeyed God. As Brenda says herself, God was reminding me that if I stop long enough to take my eyes off of me and my circumstances and I listen and obey God, I can better see the needs of others. Brenda Walker's not a pastor. She's not a prophetess. She's not a celebrity or famous person. She's an ordinary worker at the end of a day in a supermarket, but she's reaching for something bigger and going beyond her own ability and living in the supernatural. And just like Brenda Walker, every one of us here can hear the voice of God and listen and obey. When we aim for something outside of ourselves and open our eyes to see the needs around us, we can step beyond our own ability. For you see, the people who are significant are not the ones with the credentials. The significant people are the ones with the concern. You don't need to be an expert. You need to be empathetic. You don't need credentials. You need compassion. You don't need your own strength. You need the supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit. And the great news is every one of us here, every born-again child of God has a gift from God. We can all tap into the supernatural and let God use us. For the same Peter who's guiding us said in 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you. Just put your hand on your chest and say, God's given me a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. These aren't talents. These aren't abilities like dribbling football. He's given you a gift from his spiritual gifts. And then he says, use them well to serve one another. And I'm here to declare to you today that God has given every single one of you a gift. Every child of God has a spiritual gift, not a talent of how to draw, not a talent of how to dribble, but a spiritual gift like prophecy, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. And Peter encourages us, stir those gifts up, begin to use those gifts, let those gifts be a part of your life. And now I loose the gifts of God into your heart and life. I pray, oh God, that you bring a new activation of gifts in us that will begin to hear your voice and obey. I pray for divine miracles to come upon our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, yes. It can happen to you. Just a few weeks ago, two of our members, husband and wife, were driving home on the Hacho Road, going towards Hacho, when they passed two young children selling by the roadside. They had a big basket of ice or sets, like there were 100. The boy looked like he was about 10 or 11. The girl looked like she was about 8. As they passed them, they thought, this is so sad. It's hot. This is a heavy load. And these small children are out selling on the roadside. They could have passed by and said, well, we don't need the water. There's nothing we can do. They could have passed by and said, well, government should do something. But they prayed a simple prayer. As they drove along home, they prayed, God, help those children sell all their sachet water quickly. And then they drove on. Before they got to their house, they remembered something they'd forgotten to buy in the store. So they turned around, and in 20 minutes, they passed that very same place, and the sachet waters were all gone, except two or three of them. A simple prayer out of compassion had touched people to come and buy sachet water and bring relief to the children. God can use you every day. God can use you in the grocery store. God can use you in the market, in the classroom. God can use you in your compound. God can use you at the end of a long day like Brenda Walker if you'll just go beyond yourself and listen to him. you can begin going beyond yourself right now by taking the Back to Church invitation card that's in your bulletin and going out this week to invite someone to Back to Church Weekend. Every year at Agape House, we celebrate Back to Church Weekend in February. We go out looking for people who've lost their faith, people who've backslidden, people who've stopped church for one reason or other. Maybe they got sick or they had a funeral or maybe they just got discouraged. And we go out to find people and say, you are welcome at Agape House. Welcome. Come back home. And I want to challenge everyone in this house today to take one of these. If you need more, you can get more at the end of the service and go out and begin to invite people. Pray over them and ask God, who can I invite? Who needs to come to Agape House? Like Brenda Walker, God may use you to rescue someone who's suicidal. God may use you to rescue someone who's given up hope. On Back to Church Weekend, we'll pray and we'll preach to people. And I challenge us to fill this house. We are opening the expansion room by Back to Church Weekend, February 8th and 9th. And I pray to God we fill it to overflowing in this service. For God forbid that we spent the money and built an extension that we don't fill and we have empty seats. Let's fill it. For this year, we're going bigger. We're lifting up Jesus like never before. And this year, we're going beyond our own ability. We can't do it, but God can. And this year, we're believing God for a breakthrough. Somebody say breakthrough. And that's our third step. Yes, goals, break through to a new dimension. Take your pen and fill in the blanks with the words breakthrough. And listen to how the story ends in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Peter's gone bigger than himself. He's gone beyond his own ability, and God comes and breaks through. In verse 31, the Bible says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook with the power of God, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. And when you aim for goals that are bigger than your life, when you go beyond your own ability, then God comes and breaks through, and God's favor takes you further. If you believe it, shout yes. You will move into a new dimension of the Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches in Psalm 37, 5 and 6. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Every day, every moment, go bigger, go beyond. Trust Him and He will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. When you follow the steps to accomplish yes goals, God's favor takes you further. That's the lesson we can learn from the true story of Camilla Rice from Detroit, USA. 4 years ago, Camilla's little son, Miles, had such a terrible skin rash. No ointment, no lotion, no soap could bring him relief. And in desperation, Camilla sought to help her son. She took a step of faith and did something she'd never done before. She decided to make her own soap and lotion to help heal his skin. And so she did. She went and studied soap making. She looked at various ingredients and home remedies. And she came up with a soap and a lotion that brought healing to Miles instead of hurting him. But Camilla didn't stop there. She realized if her concoction helped her son, then it could help other people. After all, there must be thousands of other people with delicate, sensitive skin. And so Camilla Rice opened the Green Olive Soaps 3 years ago. Her goal was to make quality soaps and lotions that would help everyone heal, even people with delicate skin. Today, 3 years after starting, Green Olive Soaps is helping thousands of people with their skincare needs. But not only is Camilla's work blessing others, it's also bringing in a sizable income. Listen to Camilla in her own words. I thank God for the thorns in my life just as much as the successes. The thorns drew me closer to Him, and I've learned to give Him control. I'm praying to God for protection, strength, and provision. She's entered a new dimension by going bigger and helping others. She's entered a new dimension by going beyond her own comfort to do something she'd never done before. And when she leaned into Jesus and gave Him control, God gave her a breakthrough. Today, God's favor is taking her further. Her company was featured on a local news program. That news story was picked up by America's biggest newspaper, USA Today. And so now she's gotten so much attention. The orders are coming in by the thousands, and some of her products are on back order. Her business is booming, and God has given her success because she sought significance and submitted to God's power. And that's what happened to Peter. and the first church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 to 47, the Bible says, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, praising God and having favor. Somebody say favor. With all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. When Peter and the first church said, we're here to glorify God, we're going beyond our own ability, God broke through. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They had favor with people. In Acts 17, 6, it says, these were people who turned the world upside down. God began to explode them, and they shook their generation. They made an impact in their generation. In fact, Peter and the first church are still making an impact today, for each and every one of us are here worshiping Jesus because Peter accomplished yes goals. We're all here listening to his story because Peter went bigger and beyond and God broke through to him. And today all around the world, millions of people are worshiping Jesus because Peter stuck to it and accomplished yes goals. And as that number continues to grow here and around the world, there's an ever expanding influence, an ever expanding significance as we accomplish yes goals, as we join with Peter and join our faith, we too are seeing significant impact in our nation and in our generation and in eternity. That's why Revelation 7 says, after this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and every tribe and every people and every language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God, who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. You and I will be there in that throng. Peter and John will be there in that throng. Dennis Mukwege will be there, and Richard Miles, and Brenda Walker, and Camilla Rice, and every person they touched, and every person we touch, we will all be there rejoicing in the presence of God, rejoicing that he gave us a life that was bigger than temporary success, rejoicing that we were able to go beyond our abilities into the supernatural, rejoicing because God broke through and his favor took us farther. We are part of the greatest movement in history. We're part of something much bigger than ourselves, much bigger than Agape House. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're part of the family of God. We're here on earth, chosen by God to accomplish yes goals. Begins by going bigger. Make your goals this year not just about success, but about being significant. It goes by going beyond your ability. Tap into the supernatural every day in your life. For when you walk in the supernatural, God will break through. His favor will take you further. And that's how you will accomplish. Would you stand to your feet with me all across the auditorium in the balcony, and let's make our faith yes declaration for this week right now. Just lift up your right hand and say after me, this is my year of yes.
This is my year of yes.
I will accomplish yes goals.
I will accomplish yes goals.
In 2020.
In 2020.
As I magnify Jesus in my life.
As I magnify Jesus in my life.
I am significant.
I am significant.
Because God has chosen me.
Because God has chosen me.
I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world.
And I will shine for Jesus.
And I will shine for Jesus.
I'm significant.
I am significant.
Because I walk in the supernatural power of God.
Because I walk in the supernatural power of God.
I am a supernatural person.
I am a supernatural person.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
Filled with the Holy Spirit.
God's favor is taking me further.
God's favor is taking me
further. I'm breaking through to a new dimension.
I am breaking through to a new dimension.
I am living.
Living.
The yes life.
The yes life.
Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
And lift your two hands and make Psalm 90, 17 your prayer. Let's pray it all together. Here we go together. Ready, go. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes. Everybody shout, yes.
Yes.
Establish the work of our hands. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord some praise right now.